This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
Philadelphia Eagles linebacker Alex Singleton.
I've been following, you know, your show, obviously, and so it just was on the Facebook feed, and I was like, hey, I got to click into this. I heard you were, you know, Bo had no rushing yards, so I was like, the simulator is pretty accurate.
How about that?
You know, what Canada was able to do for me, you know, in the CFL, and then give me this opportunity when I come down and, you know, make the Eagles. Now, hopefully a season, I get to go out and keep doing that for 2020.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Here we go. We are off. Hour two of the RP Show coming to you from the sweatpants capital of North America.
It's crappy.
That's right. Welcome into the bunker. RP here, Jared Dumba there, our hockey analyst. And I know that there's a lot of football talk today. It's a Monday and it's fall. But the NHL draft also goes Tuesday, Wednesday. It's 2020. What could I say? And for those that are just joining us, you missed a rowdy hour one. You just heard from Alex Singleton in the show intro there. That was from his interview with us last summer. Actually, let's re-up the quick six show topics, and then I'll recap hour one. Can we do that? Thank you, Jordan. And get ready with those effects, too. You didn't see these, Jared. Watch the screen if you guys are ready. Alex Singleton's pick six was... Oh!
Whoa!
That's what I'm talking about. Right there.
Almost blew me
out. Nice work.
Seat.
I know. Alex Singleton's pick six for the game-winning points last night on Sunday Night Football was my number one show topic, and that was the clip from Alex you heard coming into the show. Not just Calgary is celebrating and proud of Alex Singleton. The entire CFL is today. Just a super guy, walking, breathing commercial for what's great about the Canadian Football League. Point two, other NBA or NFL notes, Tom Brady, TB12, throws five touchdown passes as the Buccaneers come back and beat the LA Chargers at the Ray Sunday. Point three, Dallas Cowboys meltdown. And my mind's blown today because the Cowboys lost 49-38 to Cleveland and dropped their record to 1-3. Everybody was laughing at me when I said the Cowboys should have been 3-0 going into the game. And now y'all are saying they should be 4-0. What are you talking? And not even I believe that anymore. But they are still averaging 31 points scored per game, so something's not adding up there, other than their defense sucks. Point four, Blue Jays ratings are up 23% this year over last. They're a good team.
People are going to tune in.
People are going to tune in.
Yeah.
When you have good players, people tune in.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Point five, CFL notes. Couple things. Gary Stern, the owner of the Alouettes, says the game of football has changed over the years, but the CFL has not, and the CFL has let down its fans. If certain people said that, they would be face the firing squad. But the owner of the Alouettes says it, and everybody picks up and says, ooh, he's on to something. See where it goes. Or if he's silenced by his brethren. And Cody Fajardo telling the Sports Cage on Friday that he would never have played for Chris Jones. Wouldn't want to. We had a lot of interesting talk on that in hour one. And point six, hockey notes, the NHL draft, as I mentioned, goes Tuesday, Wednesday, virtually. We'll also talk about junior hockey return to play. So there you go, John in Edmonton. So those are the quick six show topics. And I must just say, what news has broken, if any, is C.J. Gable joining us. He's a free agent, CFL free agent. He joined us from Southern California, and he said that he's still contemplating retirement, and it's going to depend on how he feels that day. If there's a season next year, obviously that'll affect whether he plays or not. He's played in the NFL. He's played in the Arena League. He's played in the CFL, two-time All-Star. He's not got much to prove, and he's already got a coaching job if he wants it. This is an interesting talk with C.J. Gable, good guy. Listen, I have to apologize, Jared. Can you just put on the camera on Jared for a second so Holdy can get a look at him? So this is who's co-hosting with us. Josh Holden joining us, I believe, from Switzerland today. It's been a very long time since we chatted with this Regina Pats great and Vancouver Canucks first-round pick. We're bringing him in. There he is. Holdy, smiling already. How you doing, Josh?
Yeah. All good. Thank you. Super happy to see you two donkeys on the show here.
Well, I heard you were going to roast me, and I thought, anything that you knew from 25 years ago is long gone, Holdy. The statute of limitations is over. But I got to say this. I just happened out of the blue to be talking to Perry Shockey on Saturday, your old coach. We hadn't talked for 15 years. We're talking about old Pat stories and stuff. And he goes, say hey to Holdy for me. Couldn't believe that you were coming on the air. So it's kind of a nice. Have you noticed the pandemic has kind of brought everybody together from years and years and years ago, and it's still continuing?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Really cool. First of all, there's been a few things that have happened in the career, and I just want to thank Perry Shockey for saying hi to me, because I remember one time in Tri-Cities, I said something to him I shouldn't have, and I've always regretted that. So the fact that he still wanted to say hi to me, that makes me feel good. But I was friends with his son, Josh. We lived together in Calgary and went to high school together. Know the family quite well. And so that's really cool to hear from, like you said, like old people coming back out of the woodworks. That's awesome.
Well, I can tell you, by the way, that Shocks has forgotten about it because it never came up. But for those that don't know, I got, you know, Holdy down here. And look at these numbers, Jared, by the way. Not like you don't know because you were around. But Josh Holden, 4 seasons with the Pats. By season, 20 goals, 57 goals, 49 goals, 41 goals. First round pick of Vancouver, and I was there with. Was it not in St. Louis that you guys were selected? You and Mo won back to back.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a fun day. And then on into the NHL with the Canucks, the Hurricanes, and the Maple Leafs a couple of times. And then finished up in Europe, by the way. And that's where I'd like to start, Holdy. How's this European thing gone? Yep. Clearly, you love it because you never came back.
Yeah, you know, being a first-round pick was awesome coming out of junior. I think it was just timing and whatnot that didn't quite crack it, but at the end of it, after playing 6 years in North America, the 0405 lockout kind of talked to my agents and was a bubble guy like all the time, and they came up with the idea, like, what if you just go to Europe and try it for a year, guarantee yourself a contract? So we went to Finland and was home every night, was never gone, didn't miss any first steps, any birthdays, any cool events from the family side. So that idea of being around the family and playing hockey, playing less games, no travel, was very enticing. And then 0405 in Finland, and then got offered a contract in Switzerland, went there, 15 years later, still here.
Looks like you haven't aged a day, by the way. Here's the sad thing. You're only 6 years younger than me, by the way. You probably thought of me as being ancient when I was the voice of the Regina Pats, but your 40th birthday, your mom asked me to send you a greeting. Yes. How did that go, by the way, your 40th?
Yeah. So really cool. Thank you so much for reaching out. So what my wife did was she created a book, and she reached out kind of through different people to try to make a connection to different people that were important in my life. And ironically enough, my mom threw your name out there, reached out to you. And so I got a letter from you in the book. So it was kind of humbling, you know, to see that she had done some work and to kind of, yeah, show me that she cared about me and had a good career, because it was kind of at the end last year kind of playing. To be honest, it was, like I said, extremely humbling, but really cool that you were a part of it there, Rod. So thank you.
Well, good old Jody and Betsy. I told her I would do anything for your son, Josh. So I'm glad that it all worked out. Jared, you jump in here anytime. I'm trying to remember. I'm looking at Josh's years. Did you guys overlap?
I played 1 year. I only played the 1 year. I played against Josh that year.
With the Blades.
Yeah, I was playing Pat Canadians
exactly.
He was with the Pats. So I remember there was maybe a couple team parties and stuff where both teams were kind of around and met the boys a little bit. But I wanted to ask you, Josh, when you see this hockey that's going on today, what do you think? Do you wish you could jump in at all now with this kind of the newer game, less hooking and holding and less of that stuff? Cause you were quite skilled, as everybody knows. How do you think you'd fare in today's game?
Yeah, it's extremely entertaining. And I think if you kind of compare, like, I watch a lot of NHL games, but being in Europe and kind of comparing the both and seeing both, it's, the skill side of it is great. The only thing that I would not say is concerning is you see a lot of big hits and guys looking for maybe a little bit more skill where they leave themselves vulnerable. I'm not saying everyone, but just in general. Whereas you can probably relate, Jared, us growing up, like you felt like there was someone chasing you around the ice and you had to always be alert and always know where every player was. Whereas now I think guys are kind of looking more for the dangle and the highlight play rather than kind of like the simple, straightforward, keep it easy type thing. But I enjoy it, honestly. We got some really highly skilled guys. I mean, we got this kid on our team here now that he could play in the NHL. He's fast enough. His shot is one of the best in Europe, and it's exciting to watch. And that's only one. There's a handful of them. So it's a different game. I don't want to say I miss the rough and tough and being scared, having to go play in Saskatoon against Wade Belak and Chris McAllister and those guys. But it's still a great game.
Holdy, by the way, you mentioned a guy on your team. Like, I see you on the ice in your Instagram. Like, are you coaching now or what are you doing over there?
Yeah, exactly. So a few years ago, I kind of had the opportunity, the team made a coaching change, and I'd been, like I said, we're 15 years in Europe, so 13 years in Switzerland, 12 years in Switzerland as a player, and then the last 2 years as a coach. This is my third year as a coach. So the team that I was on the last 10 years is in a small town called Zug. It's about 25 minutes outside of Zurich, and they were making a coaching change, and the new coach camp coming in was kind of blind to Switzerland. He's a Norwegian guy that actually grew up kind of in Sweden, so kind of has that Swedish-Scandinavian coaching style that he uses. And he wanted someone that knew the league, knew the culture, knew the players. So kind of basically had the opportunity to stop playing and move right into kind of assistant coach position and kind of have this guy as my mentor, which has been awesome the last 2 years. And this is the third year. And 2 years ago, we made it to finals. And last year, okay, of course, everything happened because of COVID, but we ended up second in the league. So pretty excited to learn from this new style coaching from Dan Tagnes.
Listen, we're not going to get on you about mixing up the years. I know math was never your strong suit, Holdy, but a couple things that I got to say. Shocks, I'm going to talk about your coaching in a second, but Shocks brought up, because I know how good you are, I saw you every day. You would have flourished in any era because of your skill and all of your abilities and your attitude, but it was your wrist. And Shocks brought that up. It was 98, right? And he goes, we lost the series based on Josh getting his hand skated over and the tendon severed. I remember the doctor's name that did the surgery, Dr. Chang. I remember everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody knows the story. So, and I just said what it was. How did that change your life?
To be honest, I have not really talked about it. I mean, it's hard to explain because, like you said, you know the injury. So in your hand, you have two ligaments and 12 tendons over top. And I severed 10 of them as well as the two ligaments. I remember that. So the only finger that was 100% was my pinky. And there was even a skate mark in the scaphoid bone that he showed me. So yeah, I remember being awake for the surgery, and before he sewed it back up, he said, like, do you want to take a look? It's your last chance. And it looked like basically like a pulley system as I moved my fingers. I had some tests done a few years after that because it just was never really 100%. And at that time, it was like 40%. it definitely didn't get any better. So, first of all, it's not at all what happened in the NHL, I think. It just was timing and some other guys coming in and trades and drafts and all that. And I think I was immature, but to go through that, at the end of your junior career and then try and turn pro, that sucked. But at the same time, I ended up luckily being blessed to play 20 years professional hockey. With the weather change, I still feel it all the time. There's still a big bump in there from scar tissue. And my thumb doesn't go up, so if I go like this, it's a... you know, so yeah, there's still some stuff there, but it was a life-changing thing. Maybe it was for the better, because I ended up having a great opportunity to come to Europe and have been here and raised my family, my girls and son, and the whole works, and we've rooted ourselves here for now.
Well, I look at it, and we all do, and say, how good could he have been? But I also know your family's background, similar to mine, and that everything does happen for a reason. And obviously, you've had many years to think about it, and you've come to that realization. So good for you. But lastly, I'll just say this. You mentioned the apology to Shocks. Now that you're coaching, which incidentally, so am I, not in hockey, but in something else, I wanted to pick up the phone and apologize to every coach I'd ever dealt with in my life, because I'm like, I didn't get it till now. Did you have that feeling when you started?
Yeah. It's funny. The same kind of birthday book that you reached out to with a letter, I also got one from Mark Crawford. And my first year pro, I had Mark Crawford and Mike Keenan as coaches. So anyone that grew up in the 90s and early 2000s knows that's two extremes. But Mark Crawford ended up coaching over here in Zurich. He was coaching in Zurich when Austin Matthews played here as an 18-year-old, and I was playing in Zug. And I bumped into him a couple times, and he actually commented on some earlier situations as me as a younger guy, but said some really positive things that, looking back on, I just was like, well, like, what the heck? You know, like, I was so immature. I had no clue. And yet he just was challenging in the way that he thought best at that time. And again, then, like you said, that's only one of the coaches that you kind of want to look back at and be like, man, I wish I would have taken those words that he said at that time and applied them, because, yeah, it definitely would have helped maturity, helped development, helped that process of jumping into challenges sooner and quicker. Definitely would have helped me at the time.
Well, I'll tell you what, any coach that you've had will be just very proud that you did get it and you're giving back now. I know I am. So this is people writing in. This is a great interview. Now they got the questions for you. How long should we go? I don't want to keep it too long, Holdy. Jeff Krieger writes.
I got all night.
You got all night what?
Go ahead.
Do you got all night what?
No, I got all night. My girls they don't have school this week, so they're out and dancing in the living room. I got locked up in my oldest daughter's room, so fire away. I'm really excited to be on here and see you two guys, so please.
Okay, sure. Well, Jeff Krieger wants to know, what's Josh's best Pats memory?
Oh, best Pats memory. I can't remember which year it was, but I think we had I think it was the second or third year. I know Brent Parker was in charge, and I think Rich Preston was the coach, and we ended up having like a winning streak of like, I don't know how many games or home games or something like that. Obviously the best part about sports is winning, right? So when you put that together and you have that support and everything, I mean, that was pretty awesome. But if I have to say as a unit, I think as a team, the year we beat Lethbridge there in that first round, that was such a battle. I think we ended up winning four straight.
Yep.
Second year, right? So my second year in Regina in 95, 96, right? We beat Lethbridge four straight. And against Byron Ritchie, I still get in contact with him nowadays. It's funny to see how things come back around and you become friends with guys that you battled hard against. But that playoff series was not a 4-0. It was more like a 7-game overtime type series. But that's one that kind of always sticks with me.
Of course, because one game went to 4 overtimes and a referee got beat up in it and there was a court case. So I was just, well, of course, talking to Shockey about it on the weekend because Shocks was on their staff for Lethbridge, as you recall. So anyways, I could sit and go on about all day, but we should move on because we're gonna talk about the NHL draft and a return to play. But Holdy, thanks for this. I appreciate it. I was very excited when I saw that you were on the board to come on the show Monday. So thanks for keeping in touch. Because it's not like we haven't been keeping in touch the last while. And stay safe. Good luck getting back on the ice. And hopefully we can do this throughout the winter.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jared. Good to see you. And Rod, super proud of you for what you're doing over the years here. And I've been following you on Instagram, and just from one friend to another, super proud of you. And it's great to see the efforts you're putting forth into the community.
Thank you, Josh. You're the best, man.
Good
Thank
to see you, Josh.
Josh, all right, guys. Checking
Take care.
In.
See you, dudes.
This is unbelievable. It's like he's on the other side of the wall, really. Not the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And yet we couldn't get CJ Gable from L.A.
Too far.
Internet ghosts. We'll come back and talk a little about the NHL draft, return to play, answer your questions, and a sports update coming up, too. A big thanks to Josh Holden one more time, and we'll be back in a moment. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. I'm just reading the comments coming in here from Roger in Calgary. Says, awesome interview. Could have listened for hours. That's the rub that I get on this. It's like, we can get into these talks, and I know we could go for days, but is everybody interested? I don't know. As it turns out, they are. So I guess we'll just bring back Holdy for a longer chat next time. Jeff in Calgary. Look at all the Calgary viewers today.
Cool.
Didn't want to attach the link as I'm not so sure how producer Clark and company would feel about that, but good move by the Flames to get back to their roots by going back to their original uniform. I couldn't agree more. And if Clark, if you can want to dig that up and just show what the Flames are doing. Look, if you saw a Flames uniform in 1986, that's what the Flames are going back to. I don't know why they ever went away from it. Montreal never did. The Rangers never did. Really?
Yeah.
That's what the iconic franchises do, but they've gone back to it. The Capital Automall Universal Collision Center poll question today is, who's the best 4-0 NFL team? There are only two as we sit here today right now. The Bills or the Seahawks, and 64% of you are voting for the Seattle Seahawks, by the way. You can vote on that for 24 hours. After tonight, there might be two more. Chiefs and Packers are 3-0. And they play tonight, not against each other, part of a two-game slate on Monday Night Football. Sports update. The Ottawa Senators have signed defenseman Josh Brown to a two-year deal worth $2.4 million. He was recently traded to the Sens by Florida for a fourth-round pick. The Maple Leafs have signed veteran center Jason Spezza to a one-year contract extension. The next round of the Major League Baseball playoffs begin today with two American League Division Series. The Oakland A's and Houston Astros tangle at Dodger Stadium, and later the Tampa Bay Rays and New York Yankees meet at Petco Park. The two NL Division Series start tomorrow. That's the sports update for the Tap House and Drive-Thru Liquor Store at the corner of Rossdale and Pasqua, the Tap Brew House and Pasqua in Regina, and for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, the best you'll ever have. Seven amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours at g2gbars.ca. Clark says he's got a picture of the Flames jersey, so let's throw it up. Like I said, it's just 1986 all over again. Does that not make you think of Tim Hunter and Joe Newendike and Lanny McDonald and Theo? Lanny
Vernon,
was?
Mike Vernon. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think they ever should have gone away from them, but they're being applauded for going back.
Those are nice.
Today. So thank you, Jeff, the Stamps fan, for pointing that out. Jeff Krieger just writes, press the like button. I feel like we're a Calgary sports talk show today. Hey, you guys will like this. Saturday night, George Kanyon, who sings the national anthem at Flames games, he's doing a live show, the drive-in concert. I don't know if you saw my social media. And he says on the mic, hey, y'all, is it true Saskatchewan's getting an NHL team? I heard that rumor. I leaned out the car window and I said, no, because if we got one, Calgary'd want one. Never gets old. So finally, I brought you in here for all of this preamble.
That's good.
Do you want to talk NHL draft preview? Or actually, I'll say what we're going
to
talk
about. Up to you.
What's your take, because you've probably looked into this very deeply, on the Q returning Friday night? And looks like no problems. But the OHL and WHL not playing. What are the people in your circle saying?
Well, the only thing with the Q is that the only place they have a little bit of issues is with the players coming over, because there's no teams in the United States, yep. right? The OHL and the WHL both have teams in the U.S. So, I mean, how does that work with quarantining? And then you go, well, you can't really do a Canadian division and American division. You got a few teams just playing each other over and over. You're quarantining all the time. It's kind of a fine line. Hopefully something gets figured out with the border there right away. It's such a fine line when you're dealing with two different countries and then you're trying to get governments to work together and get answers from each. Like, that stuff takes time. And, you know, lots of times with the government, you're not getting answers back
immediately.
There's nobody you can just call and say, hey, what's the answer? It's always a couple week process, at least it seems like. So.
Jeff, the viewer, says there's no fights in that league. Probably it probably helps. LOL. Well, there are fights, which they've now added 10 minutes to the five to appease the government. It's an interesting time, isn't it? And we're sitting here as a sports show, Jared, and I thank God I dabble a little bit outside of sports, or I'd be completely far gone and not understanding. Like, there are more important priorities, I get it, than sports. I totally get that. But it's sort of like, how long are the sports leagues supposed to sit around and do nothing if you're not going to financially support them because they're not playing? Because you understand the sports industry is crumbling. It's being the Canadian Football yep. League may die
yep.
because of COVID control. So I understand the seriousness of the virus. I would ask the people that are on the other side, please think about the seriousness of what sports is going through. Fair?
Well, people say, well, it's just sports or it's just life, but you need something to do or you don't have a life. So, I mean, you've got to, I think if I was in charge, I'd be trying to figure out a way. I mean, obviously, no, there's too much that goes into it, but you got to get people back in the arenas in some fashion. I mean, if you can go to the grocery store and people are bumping into each other and fondling with their masks, half people don't have them. If you can go do that and stand a few feet away from a person, I don't know why you can't, you know, have one person every few seats or one person every 3-4 seats. I mean, I know it's a tough thing, but we got to look at the social consequences and what's happening, because, I mean, you give people nothing to do and look at what's gone on with suicides and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's not life, is what some people say. I think it is. I think it's what, I mean, you need something to do.
I know. Well, and I don't really want to get into that argument, because believe me, I've had enough arguments. I've had enough people just lose their minds on me about all of this stuff. I mean, I could point out there's been 10 times as many accidental overdose deaths in this province, but people say, well, that's a choice. It was their choice to do drugs. Or the suicides you mentioned, well, it's a choice to take your life. Not really. As opposed to getting the virus because of somebody else not being responsible. But I saw a video from, I think it was Switzerland, posted last night from a pro hockey game. It went all the way around the rink and it was full. So my thing is, it's just a difference in mentality. I have mine. The folks that have the overly precautious nature have theirs. And right for the net for now, they're right, because this is what we're following with the government. But there are other countries and other states that view it differently. And that's all.
And if you want to stay home, that's an option. You can always stay home with a mask and your lotion and you're safe if that's your thoughts.
That would be the best thing for them.
Yeah. I mean, you can have your groceries delivered, food, everything. You don't here. Let everybody else get out.
Chris Bird in Toronto's watching. He says, big minor hockey news out of Southern Ontario. The GTHL, isn't that the Greater Toronto Hockey League, announced on Saturday that they will delay hockey until at least January 4th, 2021. He says, what, if any, ripple effect to junior hockey? Just hang on. Jeff Krieger goes on to say, the SJHL is close, I hear. If sports like the WHL and SJHL, people will do what they want. Some will wear the masks and some will say no. I don't know. I don't want to... You were talking about our government here. We have an election October 26th, and quite frankly, the SAS party, they're my guys. And in this province, they're not as open as other provinces for a variety of reasons. But I don't want to slam those guys, because those are my guys and they're doing their best. But I do have... Well, it's tough. I sit here not really want to talk about it, and yet everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
So that's the double-edged sword that I sit on every day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something that's going on. I mean, you got to talk. It's something you don't want to talk about, because nobody wants to say the wrong thing and then go, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that about
I'm not as worried about that. I mean, yeah. I'm no doctor, disease specialist. I'm not. Yeah. I have my thoughts. I've dropped little bits of them along the way and have ticked a lot of people off. But I don't care because we own the show and I can't be fired. So if you don't like it, don't watch. If you don't like it, don't read the column.
Yeah.
But I don't have all the information. But I'll say this. I said it a couple times last week. I've heard from health people, multiple ones, and none of them have the same. None of them have the same position on coronavirus.
No. It's like, well, listen to doctors, listen to medical professionals, and then they all say something different. So it's, I don't know. Yeah, it's tough to know who to listen to. But at some point, we all have to remember that we're here for a reason. We gotta live some sort of life as well, and we can be safe while we do that.
So I did mention that we would bring you in. We've got about 4 minutes left in this segment to talk about the NHL draft, and I find it somewhat delicious. My team, as you know, is the Golden Knights. Your team is who?
LA Kings.
Ah. LA, your dad likes Toronto, so you've fallen in line with Toronto. Obviously.
Well, you've always
said you're a Kings fan.
I was one before Gretzky got there. Before Gretzky got there, I'm a Matthews guy. I don't know. I love Matthews, and I'm becoming a Marner guy. So that's why I pull for Toronto since they got in the league. I was a bandwagon jumper on Toronto.
What on earth would make you a Mitch Marner guy? The zero goals he scored in the playoffs?
I just love his skill. And for a little guy, I think he's going to be a playoff guy. I don't think he's going to be a guy who disappears every year in the playoffs. But I just absolutely love Marner. And then Matthews, how do you not love that?
Please tell me, because we all know Alexi Lafreniere is going number one to the Rangers. The Rangers are already talking about it. So he is good. Yeah. I mean, I only remember watching him from the World Juniors, but he was at another level there.
Yeah.
I guess the next thing that I'm watching for is this Russian goalie. And I know that you've done a mock draft for the squad cast and all your picks are on their social media. Where do you think this Russian goalie is going to go?
Yaroslav Askarov. I think he's going around 9 or 10, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. There's a lot of people thinking he's going mid to late first round, but I think people are starting to look around and they see Samsonov coming in. And, you know, he was, 22nd or 23rd by Washington 4 or 5 years ago. They're seeing these guys. Askarov is said to be the best goalie prospect since Carey Price. He's a right-handed catching guy, a kid. He played, his only hiccup was in the World Junior Championship this year. He let in a few bad goals. He's 17 years old playing against 19-year-olds. So little hiccup there, but he's medaled in every single international competition he's ever played in, and he's just, he's so good. He'll give guys a spot. He'll drop his glove and give it to him all day. And as soon as the guy whips there, he'll take it away. He's an unbelievable talent. I could see him going to Minnesota's picking at 9. I think Minnesota's going to work out a deal. They've got Matthew Boldy in the system as a centerman. I think they need more centermen. I think they're going to try and get that number 5 pick from Ottawa. And I think Ottawa will be willing to give it. So that right there, that throws off the whole mock draft. But drafts always happen. I think you're going to see probably Minnesota move up, try and take Marco Rossi, Cole Perfetti, somebody like that. And then you're going to see Ottawa is who I'm thinking is going to trade down to 9 and try and get Askarov. But we'll see. I mean, they can use a goalie. Carolina can use a goalie. Minnesota can use a goalie, too. So, I mean, do you want a centerman or do you want a goalie? But I think he's going around that number 10 area, 9, 10, somewhere in there.
Well, you and Clark, it's a good thing you're going on their show tonight because I don't get as geeked up about the drafts as much as you do. The Hall of Fame is more my thing. Yeah. And I don't even really know who the prospects are per se. So I kind of brought you in to fill me in on that. And you just did. I mean, Ottawa, they got rid of Craig Anderson. So I know that they need a goalie. But you got Henrik Lundqvist on the market and Braden Holtby's going on the market. So you want to draft a kid. You know, the Oilers have said they want to be in on Askarov, too. And I'm like, how many goalies do you need? You got Stuart Skinner on the way up. You got Mikko Koskinen. You got Mike Smith. I mean, can you pick one instead of 4 average?
Yeah, I think they're going to let it looks like Mike Smith probably. I don't know if he's going to be back. I didn't hear anything today. But depending on, I think the Oilers would love Askarov, but I don't think he's going to be around at 14 where they're sitting. I think they... I mean, they're gonna have some good players to pick from at 14. Really, that whole first round. I think the Oilers will probably get somebody like Seth Jarvis at 14 from Portland. He was in the last 33 games of the year. I think he was right around 3 points a game as a 17-year-old. I mean, he's an unbelievable.
He's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Is he?
As Clark has just told me, Seth Jarvis. Now, so look, the comments have just gone crazy. So clearly you folks still want to talk some hockey, even though it's the off season. So we'll come back. They want your thoughts on Patrick Laine, John Ohm in Winnipeg. He wants your thoughts on Laine. I don't know why they would move him, but you can talk about that. Caesar's got some comments. So we'll be right back. It's the RP Show. It's a Monday. It's episode number 332, originating from the sweatpants capital of North America. And we'll be right back on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm just checking Instagram. Wendell Clark's. They just want you to know, how about a $10 Wendell Jr. with your choice of a side today? It's exactly like the Wendell burger that you love, just a little smaller. Okay, let's do it. All day for dine-in or pickup, $6 Wendell cocktails. That's at Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon. You're welcome. Have you been there?
I still have not.
As a Blades alum, you haven't been there? Still, what's wrong with you?
Every time I go there, I have to... Well, I used to have to stop at Fuddruckers.
Of course.
And now it's... What's the one you took me to? The sports...
Shoeless Joe's.
Shoeless Joe's.
That was a good spot, too.
Every time I stop now.
Now you got to go to Wendell Clark's because they sponsor us, and then it's better.
Now it's Wendell's.
So to the hockey question, Scotty Clark in Grand Prairie's watching. You remember Scotty. He says, Askarov was totally overmatched at the World Juniors. He will be very interesting to see how he performs at this year's. Hang on. From Darren Bradley, he says, the Oilers were talking they were getting that goalie at 14, but they don't need any goalies. They need defense. What do you think, JD? And Maggie Gregorish says she has just tuned in. So, Maggie, nice to see you. Thanks for joining us today. And Jeff Krieger says, are the Knights to trade Fleury? Now, after all of that, what I saw this weekend is that the Knights have indeed signed Robin Leonard to an extension. 5 years, I think.
Yep.
Interesting. I like him. I like him, but I love Flower. And Marc-Andre Fleury has said that he wants to stay in Vegas, but this weekend's news might change that. So out of all that, that's a lot of goalie talk for you, Jared. Can you handle it?
Yeah, I think I can. Yeah, Askarov, he was, like I said, that was his only hiccup of the year, was at the World Juniors.
That's a big hiccup, though.
Yeah, he played, but he's played every other international tournament. He's been the star, you know, and he's against his own age group. He is playing against guys a couple years old. How many 17-year-old goalies have
not many
and done well? Then looking at...
Oilers
at
D.
Oilers D, yeah. I don't know. They don't have... It looks like they need D right now, but if you actually look in their system... you know, with Bear and Jones and Bouchard, and they've actually got quite a few guys in the bank. I think that they're going to look for a scoring winger. I think at 14, because Askarov's gone, I think that they'll take him if he's there. But if not, I think that they're going to go for a scoring winger. And I mean, if you can get a guy who can maybe jump play right wing or center, why wouldn't you do that, you know? So you got there's going to be so many good players available. You could take somebody of any spot. I just think that they're going to go for right wingers because they are pretty flush in the system with D. Yeah.
My mind's racing is just, well, as my old friend Bobby Vespesiani used to say, Rough Riders assistant GM and former head coach of the Stampeders, better is better. I don't think the Oilers are missing anything but what's right between their ears.
You know,
I think they're good enough, but I mean, if they're taking somebody, I hope it is a defenseman. I'm was with Caesar. Is that who mentioned it?
Do you know who would be great there? Speaking of locker rooms, Flower. If you could bring in a guy like that to go split games with Koskinen, if you could somehow get your guys on your hands on there, if you could add a little, you know, a guy, some presence like that. and leadership like that.
Holtby is the guy that I think might end up in Edmonton.
There's another guy. Yeah, and he's from
local
the area,
guy, basically.
Local guy. Yeah, I could see him there too. But you know, I think you're going to see whoever goes in there basically split games with Koskinen, and whoever's hot will get the majority.
Tyler Warwick is watching from the Saskatoon Blades. He says Detroit will take Askarov at 4. Will he go that high?
He could. I would take him as high as I would take him. Personally, if I was a GM, I'd take him at 2 or 3. I know that there's some great players there. Obviously, Byfield, 6'4". He's probably going to be 6'5", 230 when he plays. But to find a goalie like this, do you want Carey Price or do you want Dreisaitl? You know? I don't know. I would go for the goaltender. I just think he's a can't miss prospect there. I see Tristan Robbins' name up there as well. He's going to be flirting with the end of that first round. Some people are saying second or third round, but I think he's going to go in that early to mid second round. There's some good dub guys that are him and Ozzie Weisblatt. Will they get into the first round or will they drop into the second round? It's going to be interesting to see tomorrow, because there's going to be some real disappointed guys who think they're going high, and there's going to be some guys who think they're going in the second round, going the first.
Mick Panko writes in and says, who do they trade to get either one of those guys? Well, Holtby is going to be a free agent, and the Flower might end up being released. I don't know. All we've heard about is how these crazy things are going to happen in the next week to 10 days.
Yeah.
None have really started yet.
Nothing really. I think they're talking about Braden Point, maybe, is kind of, you know, you're hearing the rumors.
They're not going to gash. They can't.
Well, that's what they're talking about. What does he need? Unless he signs for $8 million like Stamkos did, which, is he going to sign for that? Does he want to do that there? So they're talking he might be gone. I don't know.
Unimaginable.
Oh, that's the thing. And they're saying there's going to be a few unimaginable things. I don't know. Does Carey Price go? Would Edmonton ever think about parting with Dreisaitl for 4 or 5?
The MVP of the league?
I don't know.
Well, they did it once with Gretzky.
MVP of the playoffs.
Well, they did it once with Gretzky.
Could you imagine the MVP of the league and the playoffs both getting traded after the season? I don't think Drysdale's going. That's only me. I've never heard that one.
But it happened once.
But it's happened.
Yeah. Last one before I let you go, and I'll bring Dupes in for overtime, was John Ohm in Winnipeg. Wanted to know your thoughts on them moving Line A.
Oh, moving Line A. That's something I've been thinking about. Now, watch the draft here, because tomorrow at the draft, I could see Winnipeg moving, you know, I could see them trying to get up to second or third with Line A and maybe their first round draft pick. Or do they trade everybody? Obviously, Carolina would be a big player there. That's who everybody's looking for. Can they get Line A and Puljujarvi and put together the World Junior line, the highest scoring World Junior line ever of Line A, Aho, and Puljujarvi? That would be something to see. If he's going to go there, they're going to have to give up one of their top D-men. You know, are they willing to part with Brett Pesce? Are they willing to part with somebody like that? But that's what it's going to take. I think you're going to see, if Line A moves, I think you'll see him in Carolina, Pittsburgh, or Nashville, probably one of those locations. But watch at the draft. I think there's going to be some real creative moves made at the draft tomorrow.
One more comment from Jeff Krieger, who's all in on this, and I hope you feel like you're part of this discussion, Jeff, because you are. He says there's no way Winnipeg trades Line A. They did that when they traded Solani. Then look what he did in the league. I don't get why they're even talking about trading Line A. He signed a short deal.
Me neither.
I don't get it at all. But anyways, look, Jared, you are better than any analyst on NHL radio. Believe me. And I listen to it. You're extremely valuable. So I appreciate you doing this for us. And thanks for helping out the Squadcast.
Thanks, brother. Anytime.
Well, let's bring in like right after the draft, something like that.
Let's do it.
You got time?
I got time for you, brother.
Okay. Appreciate it, man.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Jared Dumba with us, and Dupes back for overtime after this. It's the RP Show on this Monday. You're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something.
I got it.
Now, back to the studio with Rod.
And Dupes. Don't mind me, I'm just tweeting here. Who is Monday's RP show Rockstar of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. Your options are C.J. Gable, who we understand as Carl Gable Jr., but we're warned not to ask him about that, so we didn't. Thank you. Josh Holden or J. Red Dumba, Dumbalicious. And tweet sent it. And I asked Director Jordan to throw out as many toys as he can here in the overtime segment because people really love the overtime. Mick Panko's voting for Jared Dumba right off the jump. Boom! How do you like that? My earplug just came unplugged.
Whoa!
Jeff Krieger says, Josh Holden, Holdy, I think we got a real race here.
Yep, I agree.
I don't know if Shox is watching right now. I got a lot of things going on that I want to get off my mind. And the 5 minutes that we have left.
Unload.
You know how my chiropractor said I need to sit up straight?
Yeah.
Because he watches the show every day. So I put the boom mic up here.
So you have to reach it.
No, I kind of like it. This is good. But our technical producer, Ryan, doesn't like the shadow that it casts across my chest. I don't care. My doctor said, home run! Like, have fun with this, you guys. Like, Clark was afraid that these, and or maybe Jordan, that these little toys don't fit in with the show. What does, by the way, an iguana? Nothing fits in on this show, and everything fits in on this show.
Yeah.
There's Ricky right there. Scotty Clark chiming in, by the way. He says, Line A has created the situation by demanding for the second straight offseason who he wants to play with. Shifley. He's become a major distraction. So I guess that's where it's come from. And our Winnipeg viewers have said, you guys don't talk enough Jets. So I guess we could do that now. Mick Panko says, the graphics are great. Hilarious. I'd like to do them now. Every day, the graphics. What the hell? So anyways, I said to the guys, they've said that Patrick Laine, for the lack of a better term, is a cancer. One of those guys. That's what we've heard for a very long time. Scotty's just pointed it out. He's made his demands. And I just wonder, you know, where this stuff comes from, that they're trying to move him. Believe me, I've been on the other end of it where GMs in both hockey and football have said, put it out there. We want to get this out there. Say it. See what the reaction is.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what's going on with Line A? Or is it fake news? You don't know. You don't know.
They only know in that locker room. And Paul Maurice,
yeah,
the head coach of the Jets, he's the only one who really knows if it's a distraction and where they're going with this. And if Paul Maurice is okay with Shifley and with Line A, and if he's okay with his locker room, then I trust Paul Maurice because he's done some pretty good things in Winnipeg. So I think they're in a good spot. But it is something to monitor. If it's getting out to the media, if it's becoming somewhat of a distraction, then I could see it being a problem. I could.
Wow, this is great. Mick says, do you blame Line A for wanting to play with an elite playmaker? From John Ohm. He is not a distraction. Give Line A what he wants. He's that good. Sounds like a pouty child. Not you, John, but Line A. Give him what he wants. It doesn't work that way.
No.
You don't whine and get what you want.
And what does that do to the rest?
It doesn't work in life for anybody.
What does it do to your team? I don't want to play with those guys. Sorry. I don't want to play with them.
John. Please stop writing in all caps and listen to what Darren's just saying. Can you just repeat what you just said?
Well, what does that look like in a locker room when they say, look, it, I don't want to play with these guys. I only want to play with here. You got to put me with players who can play with me. You're saying that those guys
aren't good enough.
They're not good enough. And, I mean, that doesn't feel very good. And that doesn't work. You don't create a team like that. You don't win like that either. Right? You just don't. You don't win like that. It's not going to happen.
Really good comment here from Nelson Hakowicz, our VP of Sim Events, who says, it's strange how in the NBA and NFL, it's okay for players to request who they want to play with and are comfortable with. In the NHL, you want some comfort and familiarity, you're a distraction. Wow, is that a good point? Because I had a long meeting yesterday with a long-time sports guy, And we talked about the differences with hockey and those other leagues. And hockey's just getting dummied. They didn't jump on Black Lives Matter fast enough. They didn't do a boycott fast enough. Hockey is the estranged part of the family of the big four of the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball. If you want to do percentages of race, most of them are white. And I think still over half of them are Canadian. And even the Europeans are of Caucasian descent, however you want to say it. That's not the sport's fault. There's a different culture in that league than the others. Maybe is what I'm saying. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it is.
And why do they have to pay for that? Why do they have to be like the other leagues? It's not... Sorry, you continue. I'm sorry. But they do their own things. Hockey fights cancer, this, that. They have their own things. Why do they got to be like every other league? And if they aren't like every other league, you're a racist league. You're not an inclusive league. No, we are our own league. What's the problem with that?
No, that's what makes it fun.
That's what makes them them.
Everybody wants, you know, to complain about all of your shortcomings when the reality is the only way to succeed in this world is to lean into your strengths and what makes you unique and what's your competitive advantage. Being the same as everybody else is not a recipe for winning. That's a recipe for being ordinary, right? You need to stand out. So stop worrying about what you're not good at and start thinking about what you are really good at. And with the NHL, you know, they do what they do really well. Basketball can do what they do really well. Football can do their thing really well. You need to, you know, you need to be unique. You need to lean into, you know, what you're good at, not worry about what you're not good at.
Oh boy, it goes into what we talked about on Friday with leagues and teams being afraid to do anything, so they don't do anything. Like the NHL is so afraid. But you said they do a great thing of what they do, but obviously they're hypersensitive to being called out for not boycotting games because the NBA did, or not recognizing Black Lives Matter. But I'm sitting there, I have watched the NBA games, the playoffs this year, and I've sat, this doesn't make me racist. I watch the floor, there's 10 guys on the court, there's not one white guy out there. That's the culture. Now, I understand there's Kelly Olynyk, the clinic Kelly Olynyk with the Heat, but he doesn't play every minute. I'm just saying there's not one white guy on the floor. Well, the social justice warriors will look at a hockey game and say there's not one black guy on the ice. This is racist. How does it flip? It's the same mentality. It's the culture of the two leagues.
Right. They grew, you know, and it's just the way it is. You know, it's what we do up in Canada, and we're what we do. You know, you grow up on the ice. You grow up with a stick in your hands, you know, and, you know, athletes that make it to the NBA, all of them, doesn't matter what your color is, you know, grow up with a basketball in your hands, or grow up on the court, or grow up with a football in your hands. Like, it's different, and it's not even necessarily about, you know, the culture of black versus white, but it, you know, has to do with where you've grown up. We grew up where it's cold, so we go on the ice.
Yeah.
You know, you grow up where it's warm, so you're outside, you're on a court, you're, you know, and it's economic status. You grow up where you don't have as much money in different parts of the world, well, see, cheaper to get a basketballer. That's why soccer's so popular, right?
I'm sorry, you're on a tremendous roll here with the monologue, but it's a little like point one in my 10 things column yesterday, that if you're offended, thrown into a rage by something, you should look at why you're thrown into that rage. You know, I'll give you an example of why. I was on a flight with the Rough Riders many years ago, and a white player said to a black player, "Get out of my seat, boy." How do you think that went over? And the black player jumped up and said, "Where I come from, calling me boy is a racist insult." And the white player said, "You're not where you're from right now. Get out of my seat." It was as black and white, literally, as it could be. But I've never forgot it, obviously, because I'm bringing it up today. But I think my point is with the NHL, they have their own causes. I don't see the NBA raising millions of dollars for Hockey Fights Cancer. Why would they? That's the NHL's thing. So when the NHL is just getting destroyed because they weren't boycotting games because the NBA was, and there was so much public pressure to do it, initially the NHL didn't want to. They're like, "This is your league's fight. Go ahead. We support you, but we're going to play our games over here. I hope you're not offended." But because even their own media jumped on their back, they had to do it. And I wish the NHL would have stood their ground and said, "We support them, but this is what we're going to do. We have our own causes."
Yeah.
But that line is so blurred now that I don't know that we're ever coming back.
No, it's, you're right. It's so blurred. And it's really confusing and complicated. And, you know, back to the story of the football players on the plane. I mean,
your mind's still racing.
Again, nothing to do with, you know, skin color or anything. It had to do with, here's a senior player on the team and you're sitting in his seat.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what it, pretty much what it was.
Yeah. We just all want to be offended for other people. And it's just, sometimes you need to, you know, understand the situation that you're in. And
tackling the sports issues, tackling the social issues, that's what we do here on every day. Darren Bradley writes it and says, I love overtime. It should be 30 minutes long. Well, somebody just scored. Darren, you. So it's over. A lot of hockey tomorrow on the show. It's going to be good. Matthew Barnaby, does he need an introduction?
No.
I just love to say famed NHL super pest.
Yeah.
Matthew Barnaby, who we've become close friends. What a shock. Birds of a feather. There's exactly. Something I said about birds of a feather. Portland Winterhawks forward Seth Jarvis, who's expecting and will go in the first round tomorrow. And maybe Tristan Robbins late first. Who knows with him? We'll get his expectations tomorrow. Yeah. Saskatoon Blades forward Tristan Robbins. So it's going to be big. Great job, everybody. Squadcast coming up tonight, live. What time, Clark? Check it out. Check out the Squadcast Facebook page for details on watching tonight's show. And we're out of here. Thank you to CJ Gable, Josh Holden, Jared Dumba, and most of you, all you, because without you, there would be none of us. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain on Facebook Live and Game Plus TV.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.